And oftentimes they'll say, well, we want to take this opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Easter and a wonderful 4th of July, because they know they're probably not going to see them again until the next Christmas. But I know that's not true here. Praise God. I'll see you next Sunday. Thank God. And any of the services in between. Praise the Lord. God bless you for your faithfulness. And speaking of faithfulness, there's a man standing behind me who has been very, very faithful all of his life. Praise God. Raised in this truth. Tremendous foundation and heritage that he's able to speak from. And then certainly from his own walk with God, his own experience with the Lord, knowing I have a God. Amen. And thank the Lord. He's able to minister to the word of the Lord to us today. We love Brother Churchill. Amen. And we want him to come minister God's precious word to us right now. God bless you, Brother Churchill.
Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. Well, when I get to heaven, I can hardly wait to see my brand new mansion inside the pearly gate. But I won't have time to move inside for a million years or more. It'll take me a million years to thank the Lord. For the first million years, you'll find me. I'm gonna be sitting at the feet of my Lord. I've got a lot of things I want to thank him for. And it'll take me a million years to praise the Lord. Time just wouldn't be long enough. It's going to take eternity to thank him for the joy that came when he spoke peace to me. When I found him, I found everything my soul was searching for. And it'll take me a million years to thank the Lord. So for the first million years, you'll find me gonna be sitting at the feet of my Lord. I've got a lot of things I want to thank him for. And it'll take me a million years to thank the Lord. You feel that way? Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Now, I will not be able to preach with that picture there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Three years ago this past Friday, we said goodbye to a very, very, very precious lady. And nobody can ever take her place. Amen. And the Lord gave us over 51 years together. And I thank him for that. I praise him. When I'm in Florida, I have two big decisions each day to make. I mean, I'm being serious here. Am I going to go to the beach or am I going to go to the golf course? And most of the time, the beach wins out. I take my lawn chair down there. And by the way I walk into Publix grocery store and look is the way I go to the beach. Okay? I sometimes get looks, you know. But I sit there and read and pray and see couples come by holding hands and laughing and talking, and I thought, oh, Lord, will that ever be able to happen to me again? Go into a restaurant, see a couple sitting there across from each other, smiling and conversing. Just shake my head. And a lady that I have known for well over 25 years, that for the majority of that time referred to me as Brother Churchill, now refers to me as Stu. And honey, and sweetheart, darling, it's your fault that I'm thinking carnally. No, that's not. God's so good. And you know the way God works. I didn't have the guts to contact her, so I contacted her daughter. I said, is your mom seeing anybody or, you know, dating anybody? And if not, do you think it'd be worth my while to pursue a relationship with her? And she just replied, Brother Churchill, follow your heart. And in years gone by, when young men would pursue a young lady, they would say, can I come calling? And so I sent her a text message and said, can I come calling? And I held my breath for about 2 hours. No. Within a minute, the message came back, by all means. And when things progressed, she looked at me, and she's a very sensitive woman to the Spirit of God. And she said, I was getting up from prayer over a year ago, and the Lord just impressed on me, Stuart Churchill is going to come knocking on your door. That just makes you feel so good, Sister Glover. Because above everything, you want the will of God. Amen. Now, can we get spiritual? It is. In the late 1930s, in the hills of Pennsylvania, man was driving in heavy, heavy rain and heavy wind. He had driven this road so many, many times. It was like his backyard. And coming around a corner, he suddenly, wasn't audible, but very strong impression, pull over to the side of the road. And so he did. He sat there a moment, peering through the driving rain, could hardly see anything. He got out of his vehicle and walked the short distance to where the bridge crossed the Allegheny River. But when he came to the brow of the hill, there was no bridge. The bridge had been washed away. Returning to his car down the road, he saw headlights. He quickly searched through the trunk and found his flashlight, turned it on and walked some yards behind his car and began to wave his flashlight. The vehicle coming slowed, finally came to a stop, and he went up and said, "You can't go any farther. The bridge is out." The driver looked at him and said, thank you so much. He did not take the flashlight back to his car and turn around, but rather he stood there for over 6 hours, waving his flashlight, warning vehicle after vehicle, "The bridge is out, the bridge is out." I'm sorry I don't come today with a pretty Christmas message, but I come today having heard from Almighty God. I come today as a warning. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. And so I turn your attention to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil. We want your oil. Why? For our lamps are gone out." And then verse 3, kind of going back, Matthew 25, 3. "They that were foolish took their lamps," they all had lamps, "and took no oil with them." Any mechanics here today? Any? Brother Norm, what is the purpose of oil in an engine? Wow. So there's friction in an engine. And if there isn't something there to lubricate that, you're going to have problems. Very quickly. That's why you have oil. The United States holds in reserve now, 35,230,000,000 barrels of oil. The world's total oil reserve, 1,650,585,140,000 barrels of oil. So am I safe in saying there's not a shortage of oil? But yet, every day, hundreds of automobile engines are going to freeze up and be ruined because there was no oil in them. Wow. Now this parable we find in Matthew 25, it's probably one of the Lord's more popular parables. And it simply is the difference between a wise and a foolish believer. I said a wise and a foolish believer. They were all believers. And it's not difficult to see and to know the difference between the wise believer and the foolish believer. The wise believers realize that it takes a supply of oil to keep your light burning. The foolish, on the other hand, think they can keep their lights burning without renewing the source of supply. And there is the answer to the problem: renewing the source of supply. Going back to the source of supply. Going back where you first got oil. Amen. Praise God. You know, I've never seen anybody drive off a brand new car lot, go a block, turn, you know, stop, turn the engine off, and check the oil. They're not sitting behind their wheel thinking, do I have enough gas to get to the gas station? No, the people that sold you the vehicle, they made sure there was oil in the engine. They made sure there was gas in the tank. But friend, if you do with that vehicle what it's intended to do, at some point you're going to pull into a gas station. At some point you're going to pop the hood and pull the dipstick out. And when it tells you, hey, you're down 2 quarts, you're either going to do that or you're going to go and get an oil change. Now take the vehicle home, park it in your garage, cover it up, and never put the key in the ignition. And you can go back 20 years from now and you'll still have a full tank of gas and the oil will still be in there. But if it's used for its intention, you have got to resupply. Now, I think crazy sometimes. My kids say amen. Does anybody here remember where you bought your first quart of oil? No. Do you remember the general vicinity where it might have been? Yeah. You get on a plane and you sit down and your neighbor says, well, where are you going? Well, I'm flying halfway across the country to go back where I bought my first quart of oil. Ridiculous. You know there are millions of people that are told, if at all humanly possible, you have to go to Mecca at least once in your life. Millions of people are told, millions of Hindu followers, you have to make a journey to India and bathe in the Ganges River sometime. But I'm so glad that there are millions of people that have found, hallelujah, amen. All I have to do, amen, is find that closet of prayer, hallelujah. I can kneel down by my bed. I can speak in tongues behind the wheel of my car. I can be walking through the woods and find an old tree stump and make it an altar right there. Hallelujah. I'm so glad the source of supply is right here. Praise God. Amen. I don't have to travel thousands of miles to some special place. Amen. But wherever I am, there are untold barrels of spiritual oil. Doesn't matter where. My son-in-law, Brother Chet Rathbun, his father is in bad, bad health. He's been driving up to Jacksonville. They live in Palm Coast, Florida. about an hour and a half trip up to Jacksonville. And two Thursdays ago, he and his brother Kevin left the hospital and went to a local restaurant. And lady came and started waiting on them. And Kevin Rathman just, when she came back with something, he said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And instantly tears welled up in her eyes. They began to talk. They began to witness. And at the close of the meal, when they walked out, the waitress followed them out into the parking lot. They talked a few minutes. Chet laid his hands on her, and she received the Holy Ghost right there in the parking lot. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter location. Remember Brother Urshan telling when he pastored Calvary Tabernacle in Indianapolis, said we had a gentleman come to the church out of the dregs of human society. God just performed miracle in his life, and he repented and he was baptized and began to pray earnestly for the Holy Ghost and just know. And some months went by, and one Sunday night they just had a blowout of a service. And he told Brother Urshan later, he said, "I knew when I went to the prayer room that night I was going to receive the Holy Ghost. But after 2 hours of earnest praying, he went home without the Holy Ghost." The next morning, he said, "I woke up," and he just said, "there was a song in my heart." He said, "I went to bed Sunday night so discouraged and downhearted, but Monday morning there was just a song burning in my heart." And said, "I went into the bathroom, looked in the mirror. That first look." And he said, I got my shaving cream and lathered up my face, and I just felt this burning in my soul that's just kind of rumbling. And something said to me, if I would open my mouth right now, I'd receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Lord, I can't receive the Holy Ghost in front of my mirror, bare-chested with shaving cream all over my face." And so he just repressed it. Throughout the day on the job at different times, he just felt this. And he knew, he said, "I knew that if I opened my mouth, it would be like a dam bursting." By 4:30 that afternoon, Brother Urshan gets a telephone call. Said, "You need to get downtown to this address, to this place, right now." He goes out, jumps in his car, and he drives down there and gets in the area, and there's two squad cars with lights going. City bus pulled over to the side of the road. He walks, makes his way up there, and he said, "When I stepped on the bus from the back seat, I heard somebody speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." He said, "I walked back and there was a doctor with his stethoscope going all over this guy's chest. And he looked up and he knew Brother Urshan. He said, 'This is one of yours?' He said, 'Yeah.' He said, 'Everything's okay, folks. Doesn't matter where, friend. If you have a burning desire, there is oil for you today.'" I said, "There's oil. There's no earthly reason why anybody should leave this church today, and you're not filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost. It's here. It's flowing. You don't have to wait to the end of a service. Amen. If it's burning in your heart right now, just let it go." While Peter yet preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Praise God. Hear me. The tragedy of so many churches today is a tragedy of extinguished lights. So many sitting on church pews today that used to, past tense, used to have a burning testimony for the Lord, but their lamps have been extinguished. Oh, they never miss a service. They go through the motions, but there's no oil in their vessel. The light has been put out. How tragic to be in a place where I just said a few minutes ago, there's plenty of oil available. And to leave here and your lamps not trimmed and burning bright. And I'm glad for every experience you've had with God. Praise God. I'm glad for that initial experience when we first receive the heavenly oil. Nothing takes the place of that. Amen. But, oh, friend, I'm so glad for your past experiences, but what about right now? As you sit there today, is there oil in your vessel? Hallelujah. Sister Glover used to sing that old chorus, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Yeah, give me oil in my lamp, Lord. Amen. It's not a sin, friend. You're not on your way to hell necessarily because you let the oil, amen, get low. But, amen, you are in danger if you don't do something about it. Not next week, but right now, today. Oh, God. The bridge is out. Bridge is out. If your oil supply is down, you're in danger. You're in danger. Brother Donnie Ayers, who many of you know, a very top-notch mechanic, told me years ago, he said, Brother Churchill, don't trust those idiot lights on your dashboard, you know. He said, I'm telling you, about every other tank of gas, you need to pop the hood. I don't know where they got the name. Dipstick. I love it. I've been called dipstick in my life a couple times. Brother Norm, what's the purpose of the dipstick? And is there any other purpose for it? No. The only purpose of that dipstick is to let you know the level of oil in the engine. Praise God. We need to get our spiritual dipsticks out today, put them down into our soul, and see what it says. It says it should be full. The Apostle Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Don't leave here with a half a tank. Don't leave here with a quarter of a tank. Don't leave here 2 quarts low. Leave here rejoicing. Ikayalala Moshaya. It's about the 6th time I preach this message. And every time I've been invited to preach somewhere, after the first time, it seems the Lord is just standing there, Brother Mike, saying, my people need to hear this warning. Amen. You just can't go through the motions. Just can't clap your hands and raise your hands and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, no, no, friend. The vehicle might look shining and bright and nice, and that's all well and good, but oh, is there oil in the engine? Is there oil in your spiritual engine today? Or are you about to run out, and by Thursday night, you're going to be discarded by the wayside somewhere because you let oil run out of your heart and soul? Hallelujah. Hear me. I feel like David. Once I was young, Brother Steve. And I'm not going to say it now I'm old, but I am older. Pastor, churches begin to die in the prayer room or at the weekly prayer meeting. Amen. If at all possible. Amen. And you're not doing anything Tuesday. Is it Tuesday night? You need to be here. I beg of you. I beseech you. I'm glad for worship services. Amen. You get a group of apostolics together and, amen, most of them filled with oil. It's going to overflow and you're going to have a good feeling too. But it's more than the good feeling, friend. Amen. I said it's more than the good feeling. And I'm not against building rec family centers. Go ahead. Redo the kitchen. Make your fellowship hall bigger. Nothing wrong with that. But along with it, are we expanding our prayer rooms? Are our prayer rooms getting larger? Seems to me, Brother Mike, we're eating twice as much as we're praying. Oh, God. And I don't stand here as some great shining example. I need to pray more. Hallelujah. We all need to pray more. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. The only thing that's going to keep you going, amen, is when you're on your knees and you're tapping into that spiritual oil. Oh, God. One thing's very certain. If we're going to continue to be the flame for God, we have to keep being refilled with that heavenly oil. No other way. I said no other way. No oil, no flame. It's as simple as that. Let me tell you, you cannot live on somebody else's experience. Sir, that praying wife of yours can't keep your testimony aflame. She can't take your place in the prayer room. Amen. She can't take your place at Bible study Thursday night. There are some things you have to do for yourself. As a minister of the gospel, I cannot stand in this pulpit or any other pulpit and bypass the prayer room. And friend, if you have an empty vessel, you know why it's empty. You don't have to be looking for the answer anywhere else but in the mirror. Hallelujah. That brings me to another thing, and that is you cannot survive spiritually on your past experiences with God. Friend, it's midnight in the moral history of our world. It's midnight in the moral history of Sterling, Alaska. Amen. Praise God. Oh, God. And this area of Sterling needs to see the flame of a Spirit-filled church with Spirit-filled people. When they walk in those doors, they need to feel something. There is something different about this church and the couple churches down the road. There's something different about an apostolic church because people are supposed to be filled with oil. Can we love him right now? Hallelujah. That's it. Let the oil flow. Go ahead. Let the oil flow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When was the last time you just let the oil flow? Didn't care about what it might seem like to anybody else. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Hallelujah. We need an overflow of the oil. I said we need an overflow of the oil. Praise God. When was the last time, amen, in this altar, amen, or in that aisle, amen, you just let God have a wonderful time with you. Sister Glover, I remember years ago, after altar services, ladies were on their hands and knees, picking up bobby pins and hair pins, because they shotted their hair down. Come on, sir. When was the last time you got out in the aisle? Oh, I'm more mature. No, you're just more full of stinking pride. Amen. You need to get out there and do that spiritual watusi that you used to do. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Anybody hungry for oil here today? I said anybody. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here. It's time. Praise God. It's time right now. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Are you out of oil? Are you out of oil? The oil is flowing right now. Amen. It's not hard. Just open up and say, here I am, Lord. Let your oil flow through me.